singing and joining in as we worship this morning together. And this morning we're going to be in a couple of places. We're going to start out really in Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. And then if you want to go ahead and be flipping over to Acts chapter 16, starting in verse 13, you can put your thumb or your card or whatever it is that you want to place in there. And we'll be looking today as we continue to kind of look toward the new year. As we think about individually, even as a church. And once again, when I say the word church, I think you already know this by now, but I don't mean this building. I don't mean this organization. We are the church. We individually make up corporately this body known as the church. And we are a local body of followers of Christ known as the church right here in Cassville. And as we think about looking into the new year, this morning I'd like to talk about decisions. Decisions that all of us have to make. Days of Decisions really is kind of the title of what we'll talk about this morning as we look to God's Word, as we think about this new year, about everybody thinking, hey, you know, as I step into this new year. Last week we talked about the fact that so many times we look at the past and this past year and we say, listen, I'm going to do it different this year. I'm going to put on a new face. I'm going to take on a new identity. I'm going to, all the things that we sometimes think. And here we are now into 2016. Now, how many of you have had a problem already? You've forgotten to write 2016 on your check or on, yeah, just a few of you. I'm going to struggle with that, I know, you know, until we get it just right. But coming into this new year, we're constantly thinking about making it different, right? New Year's resolutions. How do we make this year a little bit different? And last year we kind of ended with this idea that before you put together a to-do list, you ought to put together a to-be list, understanding who you are in Christ, what God has done for you, that you are a child of God, that you are forgiven, that God is not mad at you, that He did not come here to condemn you, but wants the very best for you. It's why Jesus came, so that we could have God in our lives. And as we head into this new year, thinking about the days ahead. Now, here we are, just the beginning, and thinking about all the days in this calendar coming up, all the days ahead. I don't know about you, but sometimes it brings fear and trepidation, thinking about all the unknown that might happen this year. Many times it brings encouragement or excitement, thinking about all the possibilities. I don't know what it is for you, but whether we like it or not, lest we take our last breath or Jesus come back, we will be sitting here a year from now, be talking about the exact same things, and we'll be thinking about the decisions that we made during this year and the importance of the decisions that are ahead for every single one of us personally. Now, when it comes to these days of decision, we're going to see in a few minutes that Paul talks about the importance really of 3 days of decision that every person can have, and as a follower of Christ, as a Christian, 3 days that you do have. But we all have important days, don't we? We all have days that stand out more than others. I know for me that when I think about some of the important days that were there, I remember. Now, let me just ask you, how many of you can remember your first kiss? Some of you are like, that is a long time ago. And it better have been your parents. I'm just saying. But yeah, it's kind of one of those events where you just kind of maybe the first time it's in your 20s, by the way. There are no youth here today. I can't say that to them, but I would if they were here. First kiss for your boyfriend or girlfriend. But yeah, and then there's the important days of, you know, you ask your wife or your husband. Oh, that'd be weird. Your husband to ask the wife to, these days, I guess it really doesn't matter, does it? I guess either one can ask. But that day when was asked for marriage and they said yes, and man, that day is locked in your mind. What a special day. You remember everything that was happening. And then, of course, the birth of our children, right? That special day when you're like, man, we've created life. You know, now what do we do with it? I heard a guy on the radio the other day, and comedian, he said his first question was, so when do you feed it and how much? You know, just trying to figure that out. What an important day. 9/11. You probably can all remember exactly where you were, what you were doing. I know my father many times talks about when John F. Kennedy was shot. He remembers exactly what was happening the day. These were important days. Your first job, maybe that nervous feeling of going, your first paycheck when you realize, hey, I can make a living. Your first house. All these things are firsts. Many of them are positive. Maybe you remember the first time a close family member passed away and how difficult that was. Maybe some of you remember a divorce and how painful that was. These are all days in our lives, and they're important. They have significance. They change us. They shape us. You know, and many of us, all of us, have those days. And in the coming year, we have another blank slate of opportunity as we make these days of decision. And listen, today I hope for me and for you that we will be challenged and motivated as we go into this new year to think about this question. If I have important days and you have important days and God has given us these days ahead, what are the most important days to God in my life? When He thinks about the days in my life, the times in my life, what is most important to Him? I'm sure he cares about all those times. Maybe when you got your driver's license, you're engaged, all those things. God cheers us on through life and is excited and right there with us. He's a personal God. But you know what's great is that even in our church, we've had some pretty neat days in the last year. And I certainly can't list all of them, but here's some that I just think are so amazing. We have Friendship Kitchen that is here. And I don't know exactly how many weeks they function, but I sat down and roughly did the math, and they serve over 6,000 meals a year. Just let that sink in. Those are important days, week after week after week, into the lives of people all around this church, and make a huge difference. We've baptized 8 people this year. They took that step of faith and went under the baptismal waters. Man, I hope that multiplies and triples over the years, but 8 folks said yes to Jesus this year just within this congregation, and we baptized them. You know, 6 in the river that was cold and 2 in a baptism that was colder. And so we've done some pretty cool things. We've had 4 people leave this church and go overseas through the support of this body to go to other parts of the world. What an amazing day for many of them, their first stepping out of this country. My prayer is that they'll be first for many of us. Doesn't have to be overseas, but maybe to go to West Virginia and to feed folks and to clothe people. Maybe it is for the very first time. I don't know what that day is for you, but I do know that our church has done some pretty amazing things. We had the team to Virginia. We've had combined. Now, I want you to get this. Because of your support and prayer and allowing myself and others from this church to go on the team, do you know that you had a part in over 550 people making a decision to follow Christ? Doesn't matter if it's down the street or around the world, these are important days. These are things that we can celebrate. But what are the most important days to God in my life? Well, as we look at Paul in Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6, Paul is doing something that we do at the beginning of the year so many times. He's thinking and praying and remembering. And Paul here, as he is thinking back to this special group of people, writing a letter back to the church at Philippi, here's what he says. Read with me in Philippians 1, verse 1, 3 through 6. He says, I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy. Let's stop right there for a second. You see, the reality is that Paul is in prison here. Paul is not in a place that he should be joyful. But what is he doing? He's not letting his circumstances direct to his joy. He's thinking back to the special days that God has allowed, and it brings the joy into his life. He says, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. You see, Paul, when he's talking about this, when he's praying and he's thinking back, he's remembering really 3 special days in his own life. But ultimately, those days translate into mine and your life. And in reality, they're the 3 days that are most important to God. in our lives as we think about this year coming up. And the very first one he talks about in Philippians 1:5, here's what he says. He says, because of your partnership, because of your ministry, because of your sacrifice, he says, here's what he says, in the gospel from the, what does it say? First day. See, Paul is asking them to remember. He's asking them to think back to their very first day. The first day that they met Paul and Silas. And see, what's so cool about the Bible, whether you know this, many of you do, I'm sure, but maybe you don't. Maybe you haven't gotten into this book. But listen, this just isn't a bunch of stories that are just put together and bound together. They are connected. This is a narrative about who God is and in light of who we are. And it's a narrative of His great love for us. And so we don't have to wonder what Paul's first day looked like. We can actually do a flashback. We can jump back in. As a matter of fact, in Acts chapter 16, verse 13 through 15, we get to see, almost like a flashback in a movie, to the day that Paul is talking about here. And so read with me as we start in Acts 16, 13 through 15, as we talk about the first day, the past. Because the past matters, doesn't it? Sitting here today, everything we've done is in our past has led us to this point. Every decision, everything that is going on. And so it's important that we do remember, that we don't forget. And so many times we can look back at this first day and we can rejoice because it's a reminder. And so what do we see? We see in Acts 16, and starting in verse 13, it says, on the Sabbath, he went outside the city to the river. And while he was expected to find a place of prayer, we sat down and began to speak with the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened the heart to response to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. If you consider me a believer in the Lord, she said, come and stay at my house. And she persuaded us. You see, Paul goes into the city having seen a vision of a man from Macedonia saying, don't go to Asia, but go to the city of Philippi. And so we sit and he walks in, and he, as this was custom for Paul to do, he would go on the Sabbath and begin to speak in the where the synagogue was. The reality was there was no synagogue. And so customary it was, if there was no synagogue and there was at least 10 Jewish men, they would meet down by the river, the closest river, and that would be the place that they would worship. And when he gets there, what does he do? He finds women, Jewish women, worshiping God. And one is named Lydia. You see, Paul is remembering back here to the beginning of this Philippians church, and it says that Lydia opened up her heart to what Paul had to say, what God was sharing through Paul, and at that point, she became a follower of Christ. You see, this was Lydia's first day. Her first day stepping out of darkness into light. And what does Paul remember? He looks back and he sees that the church was born and birthed out of Lydia coming to faith in Christ, and that house church was planted and formed, and now he's writing a letter back to the very church that Lydia was there. And so what do we see? We see a religious person. Someone who knew right from wrong. Someone who was seeking after God but had not quite found exactly where God was. And God sends his man Paul in, and he allows Lydia. He invites Lydia. She accepts the invitation to be a part of God's family and steps into a relationship with God. You see, that's Lydia's first day. And I don't know, maybe there's some of you here today who've been in church your entire life and you have lived a religious life and you know right from wrong, but you know without a doubt in your heart that your heart is dead to God. And you're seeking and you just don't feel that relationship, and it's not about a feeling, but you just know that something is wrong. And just like Lydia, maybe today this message will open up your heart and you for the very first time, I don't care if you've been in church 50 years, to say, God, I want you to come into my life. I want this to be my first day. You see, the first day is so important to God, because without the first day, the rest of the days don't matter. But what do we see? It doesn't stop there. What's so cool is Paul, as he's staying there, now has a place to base out of. He begins to go out as Paul always would, and he would share the gospel. And so what do we see? We go from Lydia to a girl that was possessed by a spirit. Now, here's what's funny about this is that I know that God has such a sense of humor because He allows what to be written down about who Paul is. In Acts chapter 16, verse 16 through 18, here's what he says. It says, once they were going to a place of prayer, it says that we were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune-telling. She followed Paul with the rest of us, shouting, these are the men of the Most High God. Now, isn't that cool? Here comes Paul into the city, and God arranges it for someone who is filled with a spirit that someone is using for ill-gotten gain. And what does he use? He begins to use it as a calling card for Paul. And so as Paul is walking through the city, what do we see? We see this woman is saying, here's a servant of the Most High God. Here's a servant of the Most High God. And Paul is preaching and talking. And then what do we see? We see that eventually Paul just says, listen, I've had enough. It's just enough. And so here's what happens. It says she kept this up for many days. And finally Paul became so annoyed. Don't you just love that? Sometimes we take Paul and we put him on a pedestal. But can't you just see Paul like, dude, you have got to stop with the announcing. And so what does Paul do? He says, Paul became annoyed that he turned around and said to the Spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her. And at that moment, the Spirit left her. You see, here's a young girl, a slave, in bondage to a spirit that gives her some kind of special ability, but she is now in bondage to a man who is making money off of her. And listen, she's there, she's hearing, she's walking along hearing Paul. She's feeling the presence of God to the point that that spirit recognizes that Jesus is in Paul, that Paul represents Christ, and she begins to proclaim that. And what does Paul do? Annoyed or not, he turns around and casts that spirit out. You see, this young girl's first day of stepping out of bondage into light, receiving the truth of who Jesus is to the point that it frees her. See, some of us might have grown up in church and we're that the religious person like Lydia, but maybe some of us were in the bondage of drugs, of an addiction, of sinful life, whatever it might be, and you just thought there's no way I can escape. But yet in the powerful name of Jesus, He cast that out and she is set free. Maybe there's some of you here today that need a first day. The first day of stepping out of bondage. Maybe you've got something in your life that you just cannot seem to overcome. I'm just here to tell you that it is not more powerful than Jesus Christ. It is not more powerful than God in your life. It is not more powerful because we see that at the name of Jesus, it can be cast out and you can be set free. And so what do we see? We see the possessed girl, her first day. Paul is remembering back to this first day of this girl stepping out of bondage and into a free life. But listen, her owners weren't happy. The narrative goes on to say that they called the townspeople together and they rallied against Paul and Silas and they threw them into jail because of the fact that his livelihood was now gone. But we know that God always has a plan. And so what do we see? Paul remembers back and he says, I was thrown into jail, but we began to sing songs of praise. Understanding that even in the midst of all that, we can have joy. But what do we see? We see that as Paul and Silas are thrown into prison, starting in verse 25, it says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once all of the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself! We are all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them and asked them, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" How amazing is that as Paul is thinking back now, some 12 years later, thinking back to this church of the first days of Lydia, the possessed girl, and remembering back to this jailer about to take his own life because he knew that if everyone escaped, he would be put to death. And Paul says, no, we're all here. He falls to his knees and says, what must I do to be saved? And so you know that the next line, here's what it's going to say. You need to read your Bible every day. You need to give away all your possessions. You need to do this. You need to do this. You need to do this. And then you can be saved. But what do we read? Doesn't say any of that, does it? It's about faith, isn't it? What does he say? They replied, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. It goes on to say that he and his whole household receive Christ and they are baptized and they step out of darkness and into light. You see, this was the jailer's first day. You see, Paul is thinking back. He's remembering with great joy the day that these people stepped out of darkness and into light. Every one of them in different circumstances. One of them religious, one of them in bondage, the other one just desperate because his life was at stake, realizing that here were two men of God demonstrating character that was beyond exclamation, that their lives were a testimony as they sang to God in the midst of their trials. You see, why is that important? Because, see, it's that first day for each and every one of us that affects the next day that Paul talks about. What does he say? He says, listen, he says, I rejoice in the fact that our partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Present. You see, if we only live in the past, if we only think about our first day, then we never really live out the day that God has given us today. We never do the things that God has called us to. We never step into the ministry. We never reach the people. We are always just relying on something that happened in the past, and we just kind of go through the motions at that point. Paul is saying, listen, I rejoice in your growth from the first day until now. And so listen, the next day that's most important to God is certainly our first day, but the second day is our present day. When the earth rotates and the sun comes up again and we take a breath and we our very breath acknowledges that God is giving us and blessing us with life, and we put our feet on the ground, and you know, as we get older it gets a little bit tougher, but we get up and we straighten our back and we get ready to go into the day, we have to understand that because of our first day, it should affect our present day. And Paul is saying, listen, with joy, I remember all that took place. But guess what? All that's in the past. All that's in the past. It's great to remember. Paul says, listen, what about our present day? He says, you have stayed faithful. And I see the growth that is happening in your life. What Paul is really saying is, listen, you haven't wasted your life to this point. But he's saying if we're not careful, then we can end up just living in the past of an experience that happened. And let me just say this, you can't rely on your parents' first day. You can't rely on your grandparents' first day. You can't rely on your husband's first day or your wife's first day. Every single one of us have had to have a day where we said yes to Jesus and we ourselves stepped into a relationship with God. Or it will not affect our present day. But what do we see? We see that Paul is saying, listen, for the most part, he's saying, don't waste your life. Don't just live in the past. Matter of fact, starting next week, I want to invite you and also to invite you to invite others. We're going to kick off a series called Waste Management. Don't waste your life. Next week, we're going to talk about what does a wasted life look like as we jump into this new year. We're going to talk about wasted opportunities, wasted resources, all the things that God's Word is so clear about, the fact that He doesn't want us to waste His life because of how valuable we are to Him, the great price that He paid for us. And so, listen, Paul is saying, listen, every day now is an opportunity for us to do something with our life, to live out our faith. He's commending them. Listen, it wasn't just then. You are living out your faith today. As a matter of fact, Jesus said in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, a challenging thing that sometimes we gloss over because we say it so many times. But then he said, this is Jesus talking. He says, then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple, a follower of mine, must deny themselves and take up their cross. When? Daily. It is a daily choice to take up our cross. Not just in the past where we accepted Christ and we took up and became a part of God's family. But every day we have a choice, an opportunity to follow Him. To follow Him. Listen, our lives so many times are the witness or the brochure. And I use that term because I think I can make a connection here that I know for me was very humbling and convicting. But how many of you, I think all of us like to travel, right? We like to go. And if you travel, how many of you look on the internet first before you go anywhere? Most of you probably would say that. And you go to the internet, what do? You go, and if you're going to stay at a hotel, you look at the room, right? And you try your best, even though you can't get inside that room, you try to do the 360, and you try to see what's out the windows, and you're trying to determine from a distance what is actually happening on the inside, or what it's going to be like to be at that hotel. And so many times, and I was looking at some brochures, and I just ran across this one. I think this is hilarious. I think it's in Europe. But this is a hotel. That's the hotel. It's a camper. Now, my dad might go to that. But let me ask you a question. If someone came to you and they brought you this brochure, and you respected that person, you watched that person, you knew they were somebody who was high integrity, that they wouldn't lie to you, that they wouldn't, and they came to you and they said, listen, you need to go here. You wouldn't believe. You open up the door of that camper and it just expands into this huge room. You wouldn't believe what's inside this place. It's like the Taj Mahal. It's the nicest place. And you wouldn't believe the view. And you wouldn't believe the food. And they begin to paint this picture of something that, for the most part, you might be a little skeptical of, right? Did you know to the world, when they think about this book, the Bible, for a lot of folks, guess what? It's a brochure about God. It's something they don't understand. They're leery of it. They're skeptical. Do you know when, and you've probably experienced this, when you invite someone to church, many times they don't come because they're leery. They're skeptical. What's going on inside there? I can see the brochure. I can see the people. But I'm just not sure. You see, Paul is saying, listen, that first day is important. But every day we take up our cross and we follow Christ. And let me just share something with you that's so convicting to me, and I hope it's challenging to you, is that every single day that we step out into the workplace, to our families, to the place we buy our gas, to the food, to the schools, whatever it is, we are a brochure about God in our lives. And they are looking from the outside, looking in. And I'm going to tell you something. God is asking us to take up our cross daily. Paul is commending us. First day is great, but today is one of the most important days because we get to experience the fruit and the grace and the mercy that God gave us in the first day, being lived out every day. And listen, God has asked us to go into a world that needs to hear about Him. And the best brochure, this is so scary for me, the best brochure He has is me and you. Me and you. Every day, I get to love people like Christ. I get to serve people. I get to challenge people. I get to build those relationships. And at some point, when they respect me or they feel comfortable, they feel safe, then I can go, listen, I get it. This looks a little strange. We say some stuff, but I'm just going to tell you, God loves you. I care for you. Can I just let you know that this place, this relationship with God is amazing? The change in my life is unbelievable. I know it seems weird. I know it seems a little bit skeptical. Let me just tell you something. Let me just share you with my experience of what God has done for me. And do you know that there's a very good chance that I might go to something like that if somebody I respect tells me about it? You see, our present day is so important. Paul says, listen, from your first day until now. But you see, our first day, ultimately what helps us get through the challenges of the first day, the challenges of the year to come, realizing that God has given us 300 and something first days over this next year. What helps us to understand that there is something greater than just today is that He goes on and gives us some amazing words, some encouraging words, some words that to me let me know that even in my darkest times and in my toughest days, my present days, I understand that we are not powerless, that this is not ultimately all there is. What do we read? He goes on and he says in Philippians 1:6, he says, being confident of this, having your first day, the present day, he said, but the confidence in those two things is not based upon those, but in Jesus Christ. It says, being confident of this, that He, being Jesus, has begun a good work in you, will carry it on to completion. Let me just tell you something. Last week we talked about the fact that we are in God's family, that He has saved us. And last week I've made the statement, you cannot live the Christian life until you understand that you cannot live the Christian life. And here we see, what do we see? Is it your responsibility to complete what God has started in your life? It is not. It is Jesus. He's the only one who can complete it. It's really just about us surrendering and being obedient to what God is doing in our lives. And in our new year coming up, rather than just trying to come up with a to-do list of trying to do better, listen, my prayer for me and for you is that we as a church, we as individuals, we will say, God, what are You doing? God, not what is Your will for my life, but God, what is Your will? We'll stop right there. What is Your will, God? Because being confident of this, He who's begun a good work in you will carry it out to completion until what? The day of Christ Jesus. You see, the important days in God's economy, in God's eyes, for my life and for your life, is our first day when we step into light with Him. It is today, because today we get to choose to be obedient. But ultimately, the third and final day is the future we have to look forward to. That this is not the end. There is a day of Christ Jesus, that Jesus will come back. He promised that He would do that. What do we see in Revelation 12:11? It talks about the fact that they triumphed over Him by the blood of the Lamb, a reference to Jesus, and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. You see the picture there of a combination of an obedient life following a powerful Savior and being able to overcome everything, even death. Even death. You know, in our church this past year, I think we've buried 5 people. And it's sad. But I'm going to tell you what, they were overcomers. Their future was secure. Maybe you're here today and you are discouraged. Let me just tell you something, that today can be a wonderful day because of your first day. But let me tell you, the power of that first day in your life is made joyful. Paul sitting in prison could be joyful because he knew that the present circumstances, his present day, would be trumped by the future of what was to come. He knew that the completion of everything that God was doing in his life was totally up to God, that he was the only one who could do it. Jesus in John chapter 14, verse 2 through 3, we've read this many times, but I think it's worth reading again as we think about this day of Christ. As Jesus is about to leave, what is he doing? He's giving us a promise. He's telling us about this most important day. He says, "My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, I would have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." You see, we can move into this new year. You can move into this new year with a confidence that God has a plan in your life. A confidence that God is in control. A confidence that God is not just wondering what's happening, but we understand that everything that takes place is under the power and control of Jesus, who will finish what was started. And so at the end of the day, listen, the end of the day, it's really about Him in our lives. And so what would it look like? What would it look like in my life and in your life if we really began to live with the understanding of these 3 days in our lives, that they were at the forefront, that today is the day God has given us, that there are those that are far from God, that if we don't do what God has asked us to do, if we don't, not a part of what He is asking us to be in this community, in the lives of the influence that each and every single one of us have, that there will be those who will not have a first day, that won't enjoy the presence of God in their present day, and one day will not experience that glorious day when Jesus comes back. You see, if we really believe that people spend eternity somewhere, then it would change how we think about the days that God has given us. Numbering the days. Counting the cost. I know for me that's a challenge because life is busy. Things happen. And listen, I'm not saying that God is mad at you because you're doing things in your life, but how different is it as we move into 2016? As we begin to think about these days of decision, we begin to pray, "God, help me. Help me make good choices today. Help me to find the Lydias, the people in bondage, the ones just who live in fear of their own lives. And God, just let me love them like you love them, because in the end, it's really about you." Maybe we just ask today, "God, how might you have me to live my life in 2016? The reality is that if we live this way, if we begin to think differently, then here's what's going to happen. People will begin to see you and they'll just be like, "Man, I don't get exactly what they're about, but I know there's a difference. I know they live their life a certain way." And it will begin to ask people to ask the question, why do they do what they do? Why do they pray over their lunch? Why are they generous? Why are they loving? Why don't they gossip? Why don't they do the things that I see all the other people doing? And it's because of the fact that we truly appreciate our first day, which affects our present day, and because we're looking forward to that last day, our future. So let's pray together and ask God to challenge us within our hearts today. Here's what I would do is first and foremost, just thank God for that very first day. If you can't think of a time that you stepped out of darkness into light, it's quite possible you don't have a first day. Listen, What a great thing to come to the realization. What a great place to be, because today can be that day. But as you think back on that, remembering what God has done for you, and then moving into this present day saying, God, what would you have me to do today? God, I know that you're at work all the time. I know that if you haven't yet, you're going to lay something on my heart, and God, give me the courage to do it. To mend that relationship, to find that person, to love that person who's unlovable, to give that money, to whatever it is that God lays upon your heart. And then as we sing here in just a few minutes, a worship song that I encourage you, many of you may have never heard this song before, but I want you to listen to the words, sing the words. We're going to sing a song called Overcome. As a congregation, as a worship to God, thanking Him for His overcoming power in our lives and to the glorious future that He has promised us. Let's pray together. Father, we thank